Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Bold Christian Ministry. This is the Bold Christian Ministry, and I'm glad you are able to make it this afternoon or this evening, wherever you are joining in. I want to believe that we are all preparing for December 25th, as there is already the season is set already, and there's a lot going on around. So many things to put in place for Christmas, for the kids and for the family, basically. Let's just take it one day at a time, so we don't overwhelm ourselves with a preparation for Christmas. So of course it's a season to rejoice in. I always look forward towards Christmas. It's just this is atmosphere that God has made possible during Christmas season, and I'm always so delighted to witness Christmas at all times. So it's a good thing. And I believe we are making the preparation, of course, to make everything ready for Christmas for the entire family. And if you are inviting guests around, take it easy and just do the best you can, but don't overwhelm yourself with too many things, as the season sometimes people get carried away and they overwhelm themselves with activities, laden with activities, and sometimes it takes some days to recover from just for the preparation of Christmas there. So, all right. So thank you for joining in on the Bold Christian Ministry today. And the Family Essence program actually takes place every month via Zoom. That's where meeting holds every 2 weeks. We have a family essence to talk about where it's a Bible study where we get to learn the Word of God, where we get to search the Scripture and remind ourselves of what God's intention are towards humanity. And so it's a time of looking through the Scriptures. And the following day, which is Sunday tomorrow, there's a prayer meeting where we get to bring in our prayer requests, where we get to pray together, believing and trusting God for that which we have in mind for Him to execute according to His will. So I want to believe God is always interested in our lives, and He always wants us to pray as individual and the corporate prayer, as so the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, Jesus Christ said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. So it's time of prayer meeting tomorrow, December 21st, where we get to come together. If you have any prayer requests, you can bring it along, and I want to believe God will do justice to it and will answer those prayers according to His own will and counsel. So today, we welcome. Before we look into God's words, we'll need to have a word of prayer and as well. So let's close our eyes as we pray together. We just want to commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. We want to first appreciate God for who He is and what the great things He has been doing in our lives. You know, started this year, and here we have December, almost celebrating Christmas. It is not by our ability, it is not by our strength, it is by the mercies and the grace of God. So let's just spend some time to appreciate God for how He has been helping us, how He has been preserving our lives. Let's thank Him because He is faithful. Let's thank Him because of His goodness upon our lives. Let's thank Him because of His mercies upon our lives. Let's thank Him because of His love towards us. His love towards us is rich in love towards us. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world to die for our sin. That's how great the love of God is to us, to all humanity. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's thank him. Let's worship him. Let's adore him. Let's magnify his name. Let's worship him. Let's adore him. Let's praise his holy name. He's good. He's wonderful. He's great. He's more than what the people say. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is kind. God is good. He's merciful. Let's thank God because he is faithful. Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. Let's thank him for making it possible for us to be gathered today, this afternoon, to learn and to look at his words. It's a privilege to always look into God's words, to always search the scriptures, because in them we think we have eternal life. The word of God is powerful, sharper than two-edged sword. Once it hits the heart, it has a tendency of rewriting history. It has the potency of rewriting history. It's efficacious enough to change lives, to change just one word from God, drop into our hearts, drop into our soul, can transform, can make a mighty army, can build, can do things that are unimaginable to mankind. So let's pray that as we gather together today, that God will bless our lives in Jesus' name. Let's pray that God, through his Holy Spirit, will minister to our hearts, to our lives, will touch us, will transform us, will change us, will make us better Christians, better believers in Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, our mighty God in heaven, we thank you, we bless your name for today. We want to appreciate you for making this day a possibility in our lives. Thank you for your mercies upon us. Thank you for your grace, your strength upon us. Thank you for how you've made it possible for us to be kept alive today. It is not by our power, it is not by our might, but by your mercies and by your love towards us. We thank you, Lord, for your provisions and everything you are doing in our lives, in our homes. We give you a praise. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to experience the season of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for you've been walking on our behalf to ensure that we know you. Lord, we are gathered together again to learn at your feet. We pray that you will bless our lives in Jesus' name. As we look into your word, we pray that your spirit will minister lives to us in Jesus' name. The word spoken of, Lord, will touch our lives, will transform us, will make us better Christians, better believers in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for your name. We know it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. You're welcome. And thank you for joining us on the Bold Christian Ministry. This is Family Essence, and it's a time of Bible study. And of course, without wasting much time, we'll consider two scriptures here. And then from there, we'll go look into some other aspects of the teaching for today. So it's we're going to open our Bible. I'm going to read from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 20. Back up to verse 19 here. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In verse 20, it says there, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. This is Paul's writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. I don't know how they come in contact, but, Paul wrote to Timothy, admonishing Timothy about what it needs to, the things that matters, basically, to growing as a Christian. And then in his letter, he wrote and trying to educate Timothy about what is important, what is not important. In all, how is a man's life shaped in the direction God intended? So the topic before us is vessel of honor, vessel of honor, vessel of honor. In Paul's writing, the education that Paul told Timothy about, educate Timothy about the kinds of vessel, the things you find in a great house. There are a lot of things that are found in a great house. A great house means, that means if you enter into the palace of a king, that's what that means. If you enter into the palace of a king, you find different kind of things there. You find things that they use and things they don't use, just like our normal home, right? If you look way back, maybe you're in a different, but growing up when you're in your home or living with your mom or your parents, basically, you would discover that there are things that you people don't, there are things we don't use. In 3 months, anybody may not even touch it. Maybe they're kept in the garage. Maybe they're in the same house itself. There are stuff that people don't touch. Just like some people, they have clothes that they've not touched in the past 3 months, in the past 6 months. They've not touched those clothes before, right? And they have things, maybe a cup that they've not used for the past 2 months. Maybe, things like that, basically. Or a pen that you have not used for some time. Or it could be anything at all that you've not used. Some have cars they've not touched that in the past 2 months. Some have rooms they've not entered in the past because of how great the house is. That is what Paul is trying to say here. That in a great house means a house. A great house means a house that is beyond just the house, right? So we can use the palace of a king as a great house, basically. So an expensive edifice, let me put it that way. That's what it means. So it's saying that, but in a great house, there are vessels of gold, of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So when I was growing up, I would, my mom does a routine check, let me put it that way, on the house where we lived. I grew up in the barracks, so it's from time to time, my mom always, like every year or every 6 months, she always make sure that some irrelevant things are thrown away that we don't even need. So she would throw them away, and then some things are kept, some things are, so she always does that, kind of routine check from time to time. And as a result of accumulated unused, could be toys, it could be clothes, it could be things in the garage or store, it could be material, immaterial things, It could be anything at all. And so she will always do those routine checks because, things like that are not, some things are not needed. So Paul the Apostle is telling Timothy, was telling, admonishing Timothy here. This is just a charge, telling Timothy that if you want to be used of God or you want to be a vessel that commands honor, that God respects, that God wants to use, let me put it that way, that God wants to use, you have to ensure that a cleanup is required. That is what Paul is saying. A cleanup is required. So it's time for cleanup, it's time for purging. And that's the reason why Paul used the man, I mean, Paul used the word, if a man therefore purge himself from these. What are these? The underlying word these. If you back up to verse 20, it says there that, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Some to honor. That means some things are useful and some things are not really relevant, basically. So that's what the verse 21 is saying there. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that means a cleanup is required. That means if you want to be a vessel that God wants to use, if you want to be relevant in the kingdom of God, there has to be a purging that must take place. There has to be a cleanup exercise that must take effect in our lives because God is a God of clean slate. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians, which I'm going to read shortly, Paul the Apostle was admonishing the church at Corinth and advising them in, I think, 2 Corinthians, there, chapter 5, verse 17. It says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. Old things are passed away, all things have become. So it's a God of clean slates. So if there's anything in us that we are still keeping, like someone who surrendered himself to maybe during a time of war and they got conquered, a nation conquered the other nation, and then those nations became slaves to them, and then and the person is saying, no, I'm not giving up the my rights to this nation. I'm not You have to, because you have been conquered. The same thing, if once we come to God, we have to make sure that we get cleaned up, because he's the only one that knows what is fit for us, what is not fit for us, what is relevant to our destiny, what is not relevant to our destiny. He's the only one that can tell what exactly we should let go, what exactly should stay, is the only one. But first, a cleanup exercise is required. That is the reason why Paul the Apostle wrote this charge to Timothy. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the seal. There is a seal that when you meet someone who knows God, who has accepted the person of Christ, right? There's a seal. You will know in the communication, by the fruit, you will know in the communication, in everything, in the way they do things, in their, you will know that this have been with Jesus. These ones have been with Jesus. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So Paul the Apostle was using an example of a great house, which we can say the house of a king or an empire, the royal empire, the house of a president, basically. Let me put it that way, house of a governor or a president. Those are great houses, basically, or the house of a wealthy multi-millionaire or multi-billionaire, as the case is. Those are great house, basically, where you find gold, silver, not just the house. So he tried to describe a great house as that. And so he said, there are some to honor,
their son to dishonor. You find silver, you find gold. Some are relevant, some are not relevant. Some are useful, some are not useful. So, but if you must be a vessel unto honor, you have to first purge. There must be a purging, a cleanup exercise. That's what this, that's what Paul the Apostle is trying to say. That means you cannot keep some things to yourself and say, no, this one, God, I'm not releasing this one. What are those things that are that you know are edifying? What are those things that you know you would not need in your journey? You can't tell. It's only God that can tell. So that means the things of God are kind of custom made. And the dealings of God are custom made to individuals. So what is applicable to me is not applicable to you. The way God will deal with me is different from, just like the way our situation is different, right? You enter into a home, what they are battling with in that home is different from where you are coming from. So if they begin to open their mouth and begin to tell you the challenges they are facing, it's different from where you are, where, what you are dealing with. So that's the way God is, God wants to deal with a man. The things of God are custom made. The way God is going to handle things with you is different from the way God is going to handle things with me. Though the end goal is the same thing, reaching towards, I mean, striving to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the summary, right? But he is going to take, where God is going to pick you, pick things up with you is different from the way he's going to pick things up with me. Maybe I'm the kind of person that likes soccer. I love soccer so much that I can travel, I can enter flight. The last time I went to, I traveled down to the United States, and the flight I entered, some people they want to go and watch a particular game in Minnesota. So they bought a ticket, that's how passionate they are with sports, with football. So they enter, there is not one person, it's not 50, there are many with different flights. They are going down to Minnesota to watch a game of maybe 90 minutes or that's how passionate they are. So if God sees that thing can affect your work with him, it may demand that thing, please put it aside. If you are the type that love movies or you like playing video games, it can come and say, no, this, it could be your job, it could be your career. It can say, you take a lower paying job because of what I want to do with you. So if you want to be used of God, or you want to serve God, or you want to walk with God, as the case is, there must be a clean up exercise. If there's no clean up exercise, it's a waste of time. God can't even work with somebody who cannot clean up. He will first of all purge. There must be a purging, a clean-up exercise. That has to come first before other things. He will start applying other things. That was the reason why, that's the reason why Paul had to say in, you know, the Bible is not, is the way the Bible is written. It's written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's not by human knowledge. If the Bible is written by human knowledge, we have the tendency of manipulating the scriptures. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit is the one that authored the Bible. Sometimes, some things God inspired people to do, they are still today, because God inspired it. His spirit is backed up by. It's not something that is anything that is meant for. It will fade away. So Paul the Apostle wrote there, it says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from this, either the one that is honor, the one a man, you count as this one is honor, is honorable, this one is not honorable. The two, the one that you are saying to be honorable and all this, in the eyes of God, they are irrelevant. Our God is a God of clean slate, clean slate. If you encounter God, you must be willing to let go of everything. You remember when you read through the account of the Gospels, Jesus Christ was educating his disciples and those who are following him. He said, if anyone will come after him, let him deny himself. There are a lot of people that could not deny themselves of some things. They can't. They can't say, they want to carry everything and then follow him. No, that's not the way the kingdom works. That's not the way the kingdom works. So there must be a cleanup exercise. The man that came, that Jesus Christ told him to go and sell all that he had and give to the poor and come and follow him. The man went, so the Bible said the man went sorrowful because what? He had great possession. He had great, so he can't let those things, those investment of 7 years, investment of 2 years, investment, you will need to, if you want to work with God, a cleanup exercise is required in working with God. That's what Paul the Apostle, that's the emphasis of this passage of scripture that we just read. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is an age where you find people talk about their salvation story. People talk about they are living a life that their preaching does not equate with what they are saying. With the lifestyle that they are living. What they teach is not what they live. So they are like the Pharisees. So he's saying that, don't deceive yourself. The foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth. You can't change it. This is a landmark. It stands sure. So God knows those that are serving him. And if you're in a prayer meeting and somebody is praying in a way that is shaking everywhere, and then another person is praying gently, another person is, you know, all those. God knows the one, the prayer that is answering, the one is attending to. He knows it. So don't come and start. So that is what he's saying here. The foundation of God standeth sure. God knoweth those that are his. He knows those that are. So don't let us start attending church and then attending church because this is how our parents did it, and we have to. Don't waste your time. There's no need to waste your time. Attend, serve God because you want to serve God. Serve God because he is God and you want to serve him. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You can't be serving God and still be dwelling in iniquity. Still fighting, still keeping malice. You've not forgiven someone. Someone offended you. You said, not when I am alive will I forgive this person. And you want to enter heaven. You want to enter heaven. No, that's not the way it works. Iniquity is evil in the sight of God. So you can't say I'm following Christ. I'm the leader of my group in church. I head the ushering unit. I am in charge of protocol. I'm the one, anytime we have a guest speaker that is coming to minister in our church, I'm the one that will organize. I'm the, in fact, the lodge in my house. I'm the, all those are things that don't, God does not recognize those things. As long as you don't fall in line and you don't allow the cleanup exercise to take effect in our lives, it's a waste of time. We're just wasting our time. So he's saying there that let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He now come, made a very strong description of what he meant by that. That in a great house. And it's like the example of the house of a president, of a governor, of a king. Those are great houses where you find gold, or the house of a wealthy or multi-millionaire or multi-billionaire. Those are places where you can find gold and silver. That's what he's saying. And you find different kind of things there. And someone feels because his paying is tight, is doing an honorable thing in the house of God, because he's still dwelling in iniquity, and he thinks If you don't allow the cleanup exercise to take effect in your life, it's a waste. If you like, make the largest donation in the Church of God, or be part of those that contributed to the building of a cathedral, is nothing in the house of God, in the eyes of God. It's nothing. It's nothing in the eyes of God. Don't think because of that they will build you a merchandise in the kingdom of heaven. No. The clean, every Christian, everyone that wants to enter into the kingdom of God must go through this clean up exercise. If you don't pass through this purging process, you can't even enter, not to talk of see the kingdom of, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't see it. You can't. So that's what Paul the Apostle is saying here, that if a man therefore purge himself from these, what he meant by that is, there are things we see as, I want to keep this one. Just like you're searching your house, or you're doing a cleanup in your house, or you just bought a new home and then you had to clean it up and you kept some things. You say, I should keep this one. I think you can't keep, when it comes to the things of God, you have to let everything go. You can't say, this one, I must keep it. This one, no. Unforgiveness, I have to. I can follow Christ, but this unforgiven spirit that I have within me, I want to keep it. Or this Friday nightclub that I'm always partying and dancing around women, I want to keep this. Oh, lying. I know I lie, but let me keep this one so that I can still follow Christ. So that means you are not holding the cross with your two hands. You want to use one hand to hold the cross. And the other hand, you want to bring something that is a contraband. You want to hold it with the other hand. That's not, no. The clean up, it has to be an intentional clean up exercise that must pass through you. That's what we are saying. That's the reason why Paul used the word purge. The word purge there is a clean up process. It has to, on every Christian, everyone that named the name of Christ, you identify yourself. Maybe your name is even John, or your name is Peter, your name is Andrew, your name is Bartholomew, or you are Judas, whatever your name is, or you are Ruth, you are Dorcas, this cleanup exercise is required. So anytime you wake up, just have it in mind, clean up exercise is required for anyone that wants to make heaven at the end. Whatever the title is, if you are the deacon of a church, or you are the pastor of a church, or you are the whatever category you are, the bishop, or a clean up exercise is required. Without this clean up exercise, you cannot be a vessel of honor. You can't. You can't be. How do you want to be a vessel of honor when you don't allow the cleanup? The person that made you, that wants to work with you, you want to work with it, you want to serve a spirit being, you have to, this cleanup, everybody have to. That's the reason why Christ used the word, let him deny himself. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Daily, it's not one month, it's not. It's a daily exercise. That means every day there must be an inventory process that must be taken. There must be an inventory that we have to check. The Holy Spirit have to check, okay, is it in alignment? Is it working the way it should? It has to be. So this charge that Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy is a charge that is timely, and we need this in this end time, because so many people parade themselves as Christians, but their life, with the life they are living, is not in synchronism with what they profess. Yes, is not in alignment, is not in synchronism with what they profess. So if you profess that you know God and you are serving Him, with your lifestyle, your ways of doing things, your interaction with men, your everything, it has to be in alignment. The communication, your demeanor, everything has to be, it has to be in synchronism with his commandments, with his charge. So the question now is, what are you willing to let go in your life? In our lives, in my own life, what am I willing to let go? Because if you don't allow anything, if you don't let anything go, you can't be a vessel of honor. And everyone that comes to Christ always look forward towards being a vessel of honor, to be used of God, to serve God, to do the things of God. So I want to leave us with the question, what have you let go? What are you still holding back? What are you willing to let go? If there are some things you are still holding back, that means those are the things that serves as, that are still commanding your obedience and not making you to fall in line with the commandments of God. So that is the message today. Vessel of honor. So are you a vessel of honor? Am I a vessel of honor? So we start taking inventory of our lives now. And we start looking at things within us that we are let go, and some things we are still holding back to. And we've been praying, God, please give me grace. Some things you have to be intentional about giving them up. If you are not intentional about it, nothing will change. In 7 years, we are still here. In 5 years, and then trumpet can sound anytime. And that kind of person will think is going to be rapturable. God will just overlook some things. You know, this is an age where people want to sing their way into heaven. You know, people want to sing, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, oh, happy day. And then they want to sing their way into heaven. No. Clean up exercise. Clean up exercise is required. So that's a chat for us today. And I want us to bow down our heads and begin to ask God to search our hearts through the light of his word. We'll receive a charge. Vessel of honor. Am I a vessel of honor? Are you a vessel of honor? What are the things you've let go? What are the things you are still holding back to? God is the potter. You are the clay. So can you tell God that, no, mold me this way. This is how I want to. No. The thing that formed you, you want to be directing the person. You want to direct the personality. This is how you should. No. Let's start taking inventory of our lives. So let's ask God to shape us in the direction that he wants us to be shaped. And let's start giving up those things. Let's start making confessions. You know, it's a moment of confession. It's a very critical moment where we need to start telling God that, God, have mercy on me. I've let go of this. I've let go of that. Let's begin to talk to God. And let's, after this meeting, we still have to take some time apart to search within ourselves, so that the Holy Spirit can do the work in us. And I want to believe God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen.